All right, this is Bradley and Dina for episode number one of Bachelorette Unfiltered and Unapologetic. Both of us are new Bachelor, Bachelorette fans, but we were like, you know what? We have so many hot takes on The Bachelorette that we just have to put this podcast together. It's late at night. We're both tired, but we're coming out here fighting against fatigue to give you guys this type of content. Dina, welcome to the show.
Thank you, thank you. This is definitely one of the first times on a podcast, so very new and no judgments here.
Exactly. This is a judgment-free zone. I just want to warn people, we might say some things. It's going to come out. We're not scripting anything. This is unfiltered, unapologetic. We don't apologize for anything that we say on this podcast.
If anyone really knows us, they clearly know that neither of us have filters. So this is actually, just like the name says it, unfiltered.
Exactly. All right, so disclaimer, both of us started the episode about 30 minutes in. I saw who didn't get roses. Did you even catch that part?
No, I did not. Normally, we're very good at watching the whole episode, but tonight was just...
It's just one of those nights. Life catches up. So yeah, I know Diggy got eliminated. Diggy was one of the fan favorites for some, but I don't think you weren't a huge fan of Diggy.
I was not. I was happy to hear that he left.
You just don't like him because you think he looks like a nerd?
Yeah, oh, for sure. I mean, the nerd looks good, but like, it wasn't my thing this episode.
Not a huge fan. And the other dude that got eliminated was the male model who was just irrelevant the entire season. I mean, he's...
If you would have said his name, I still would have no idea who he is.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know his name. He honestly, like, he's up there with some of the most irrelevant characters we've seen on the two seasons we've watched so far. Exactly. So I don't know who the third person who got eliminated was, but anyway, the big thing is that Lee and Kenny made it to the next round. We obviously missed their spat in the first half hour. Apparently it got kind of heated, which we'll talk about down the line. But the first thing we saw was Dean, your boy, got the one-on-one date. And let me just hear you fawn about Dean for a little bit.
Just the way he is, he smiles. Oh my god, the way he walks, what he like wears, so relaxed. He's that nerdy look, but he also was like really cool. And I just wanted to know more about him.
I feel like with Dean, the reason a lot of girls our age, like mid 20s, young 20s, like him is because he looks like young. He doesn't look like this like rugged mid 30s guy.
Right, and he doesn't look intimidating. He's not one of those like, he's not too hot to function.
Yep.
Neutral, hot look.
He's someone you want to take home to mom, right?
For sure.
All right, so they do their date, they go on a blimp, and the first thing you noticed...
Wait, it's me.
The first thing you noticed was how scared he was to go on a blimp, and I know you have some hot takes about being so scared.
Yeah, honestly, it wasn't a side I wanted to see of Dean just yet. Jessica was so excited, so she was like freaking out, and he's just like lying back like, I'm not having this. I didn't think that was his best shining moment. He didn't really come out and be like, oh, I'm excited. He just kind of sat there and was like, I'm shitting my pants.
Like, well, that's the thing we said is like, Rachel's in her early 30s, and you feel like she's not ready for, she doesn't want to deal with boys, she wants a man. And a man is not afraid to go on a freaking blimp. All right. Now, that being said,
It's boring. Like, the whole blimp ride was just like, what? Like, it was boring. There was no jumping out of a plane. There was no jumping off a cliff. You know, no real danger or threat. It was like a 2 mile per hour blimp ride through the sky.
Yeah. It's like, if Dean's scared of going on a blimp, imagine what he's going to do when he sees his first, like, poopy diaper. You know, like, he's probably going to be scared of that, too.
Yeah.
And then when they get on the blimp, we both pointed out that it was so weird. They're like sitting on a school bus across the aisle, like holding hands. They weren't next to each other. And it felt like to me, when you were in middle school and you were doing slow dancing in like sixth grade and you'd stand like 2 feet apart from the person and you'd like reach across to grab them behind the waist. Like that's what it felt like. It was super awkward.
For sure. Why were they not next to each other? I just don't get it. They're on this blimp ride. Totally unromantic.
It was questionable. And then like they got their stuff together, but also like Dean was feeling it a little bit, like felt sick maybe. And it really reminded me of that Vanessa experience with Nick when she hurled on that gravity list, whatever that was. But Dean held it together. You could score that one as a win for Dean. That would have been a trifecta if he, you know, was scared, threw up, and then was unromantic in how he approached and sat with Rachel. So that was bizarre. But then,
according to Rachel, she wouldn't even hold his hair back for throwing up. So
I missed that part.
You missed it?
I missed that part. I guess.
The blimp. She's like, if you throw up, ain't about that.
That's great. So then they do their dinner, and we kind of saw our Christina moment from last season, where Dean pulls on the heartstrings of America and tells Rachel that his mom passed away at 15 after having breast cancer and pretty much had to grow up in his mid-teens by himself in, like, a home. Your thoughts?
Honestly, love that moment. It really was touching and emotional, and it even, like, I wanted a tear, but it also felt a little forced. Like, I don't want to put down anything, you know, his story, what he went through, but he literally went into it, was like, so Rachel, tell me about your past. Because he was, like, itching to say about his...
Well, that's like Harvard kids, like, saying, you know, where did you go to school? So that you will ask them back, and then they get to say, I went to Harvard. Like, yeah, like you said, we don't want to make light of what he had to go through, but that he kind of forced his way into telling that story by how he asked, like, hey, Rachel, what's your background? It's like a bizarre question to ask, and how he framed it in, like, a first date.
It should have been more natural.
Yes. The thing is, so now we talk about, you know, Dean kind of showed his soft side. You weren't a huge fan of Dean being scared and showing some tears all at once. Tell me a little bit about that.
You know, I like a guy who's tough, but also can cry. And in this date, I saw him cry at least 3-4 times. And I'm like, you know, about the blimp being scared. And it just, all together, all these mixture of feelings. You know, you need to man up a little bit. You know, Rachel definitely needs a man.
I agree with that. Dean, the thing with Dean is he's just like soft as puppy poo. And that's, for some, that's great. But I think for Rachel, she's such a strong, independent woman that she needs someone that can keep up with her. And I feel like she might even be able to bring Dean to tears with, like, hey, Dean, you didn't clean up the dishes. And Dean starts, like, tearing up. It's Dean, no, to me, like that said, I do think she has a soft spot for guys with, like, good hearts. Like, Dean is a good kid. I just feel like there's too many barriers to making it work, and age is a big one.
Right. You can't, like, but what you were saying before is that he did grow up. He had to grow up at a really young age. So, you know, yeah, he might be young in age, but actually in his life experience, he had to grow up fast.
Yeah. Yeah. No, listen, it's a pretty impressive story. Now we have our guy that you can root for. Christina was that person last season. Now we got Dean, and he's also very attractive according to you. So kind of full package, except for the fact that he cries. All right. He wasn't really that relevant early on in the episode, but I want to take an opportunity to rant about Eric, who's the head case, who was on the first four in the final, that final rose ceremony when he met Rachel. Start dancing with her. I really think he brings nothing to the table. I don't know why he's here. I know you don't. You have some strong feelings about him too.
I see him. Everything he does is annoying. From the way he looks, the way he acts, the way he speaks, and the way he spells.
Oh, like, so
what,
bad.
What is? I can't. I see his name and he comes up. Any screen time he gets, I'm just annoyed.
I can't put a finger on it, but I just think he looks like dumb. And it's just, like, Rachel is so intelligent and just so vivacious. And, like, Eric's just, like, a downer. He's a Debbie Downer. And I made this point to you. I'm big into wordplay. And an anagram of Eric's name is cry. And he's a crybaby. Like, that's what he is. He doesn't actually tear up. But he just is such a mental head case. So
he whines a lot.
And something, Rachel sees something about him. It seems like he's gotten so many strikes, but yet he's still around. She commented after their, like, get-together in the one-on-one section, like, I had a great conversation with Eric. It's like, no, you didn't. He stinks. All right. What do I have next? Okay, so then they have their group date, all right, where about 10 guys go on a boat. There's a little bit of rapping. But the first thing I noticed was she's like, hey, if you guys get hot, feel free to take off some of your shirts. And I thought it was so weird how some of the dudes just, like, didn't take off their shirts, especially Alex, the Russian buff guy. Like, that is one of your biggest assets. Like, does he have sensitive skin? Is he, like, easily burned? I didn't understand that at all. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I honestly, the only time I noticed it was when Peter was there, and I'm like, oh, he has a pink shirt. And then I'm like, wait, his shirt isn't off. And then you made that comment, like, you know, they must have not brought their sunscreen.
I guess. I mean, that said, I mean, Josiah is pretty built, and I wonder if they were emasculated somewhat.
No, I mean, honestly, we've seen them take off their shirts before on the Ellen show, and they all really have incredible bodies. It's hard not to watch and stare and, you know, drool a little bit.
Yeah, I'm getting a little bit uncomfortable talking about dudes like that, but listen, game respects game, and yeah, I mean, those guys definitely put in work in the gym as I eat my brownies right now. All right, the next person I really want to talk about, just because he's such a sad case, is Jonathan, the tickle monster. I honestly think he has to be Jewish, that's for sure. And honestly, I just like feel like the producers were like, you know what, we're going to give someone that has no business being here a shot just to make people out there in America feel like they have a shot with like attractive girls in the future.
Brad, are you saying something about yourself?
I honestly, I could go.
Decided to try out for the next.
Listen. I honestly will take myself against Jonathan pound for pound on that show any day of the week. Like, that is not even. I don't even feel good about beating Jonathan. He's just like, he's so awkward. His dancing was him just like, you know, miming the tickling motion, and I just cringe.
I like cringe. That scene, I was like cringing the whole time. Like, oh no!
It's so bad. But again, like I said, it's nice that they have that one guy that you can be like, I am actually better than that person. Like he's the confidence builder for like the average Joe guys out there. It's like if Jonathan could be on the show, and Jonathan has a shot with Rachel, then I do too. So it's
honestly, we did have high hopes for him. I know we're going to get to this soon, but during the spelling bee.
Yes. The last thing I wanted to say, and I really, it was crystallized during that boat date, is I just think Peter is head and shoulders better looking than any other dude on the show. Is there anyone that comes close? I mean, Dean, it sounds like, is on your list, but Peter's just...
Peter's not my type. He's all around too perfect. He's like, you're right, he's just the perfect guy, but is it, you know...
Too perfect.
There's something about him that's too perfect.
Are you saying there's some skeletons in his closet?
Definitely some skeletons.
Okay.
He also pulled out the Titanic move on that boat.
Yes, that was aggressive. That was an aggressive move.
That was a bold move.
You have to respect a dude that has balls in front of all these other, like, testosterone-filled guys. I honestly respected it. I wouldn't do it personally, but that's why Peter is where he's at.
Yeah.
All right, so then they moved to the spelling bee, which was hilarious. The first word out of the gate was squirt, which if you don't laugh when you hear the word squirt, like, you don't have a sense of humor.
I really just didn't see that coming. I'm like, and then she used it in a sentence, and everyone's just, like, dying, like, oh, God.
Yeah, it was, and there was obviously some bad spelling. Josiah pulled it out. He obviously worked the crowd. He was whooping it up, and... it was pretty impressive, but really the thing that we wanted to talk about was we were kind of disappointed when they were like, to the kids, judges, put on some headphones, we're going to use some R-rated words now. They used some really bad words like polyamorous, whatever. We came up with some better words that we thought should have been spelling words that may have been tougher to spell. So I'll go first just to ease the tension a little bit here. I think they should have done fellatio. That is a tough word to spell.
It is.
Do you have another one?
I also think they should have used, you know, the common term that's been thrown around lately, bukkake.
That's a great one. I honestly, if you're listening to this right now and you can spell that word well, you got to kind of rethink some things in your life. But it's a tough word. And then you also, I don't want to steal your other one. You had a great other one.
The other one, you know, some people would find it an easy word. I couldn't spell it. If anyone knows me, I'm a terrible speller. Chode.
It's a great one. I mean, it's a great one. Some people might spell like C-H-O-A-D, you know, like toad. So that's a really good one. It's short, but could definitely trip up some people. So yeah, we honestly think the producers did a poor job with that. And next time there's a spelling bee of some kind that's R-rated, Dean, I think you have a decent shot of getting on the board.
I don't know what that says about me, but...
all right. Oh, and then what did you think about Peter rapping? Do you think he held up decently against Kenny, who was kind of spitting bars?
Oh, I did. I really would hope that he came up with that on the spot and it wasn't scripted, because it was very good on the spot, especially to be intimidated to be like around Rachel and those other guys who are really into rapping. But I thought he did a good job.
Yeah, especially, I mean, listen, the legend of Peter continues. All right, real quick before we get into like the second half of the show, did you know that Kevin Durant used to date Rachel in college? Did you hear that?
No.
Yeah, they dated, and Rachel, I think apparently they broke up. I don't really know the reason, but can you imagine if like Rachel hadn't and she was married to Kevin Durant right now? How crazy is that?
Weird.
It's super, super weird. All right, so then they go into like the after session after that group date, and that's where the drama starts to pick up.
Drama.
Josiah gets the spelling bee trophy, and even in that first session when they come back, he starts drinking his drink out of the trophy, which is such a power move. I don't know if you saw that. That was great. And then he spilled a little something on his crotch, and you can see him kind of like wiping himself down in that area, very like bombastically. He's very ostentatious. That's really what Josiah is. He's a showman, and I respect him for it. But you could tell Iggy, the way the producers presented, Iggy was not feeling it, and Iggy takes his one-on-one time with Rachel and just airs Josiah out. Your thoughts?
People that do one-on-ones and then talk about someone else is clearly super insecure about themselves, and I hate when, like, even, you know, you have such short amount of time to spend with Rachel, that why are you talking about someone else? And he seems like a tattletale and a crybaby, and he's just also, I feel like, irrelevant.
Totally. I feel like the only way he stays relevant is by being the tattletale. Like, he's never had a connection with Rachel. I feel like that's the only way he can make conversation is by not talking about himself, because I don't know what he brings to the table. I don't think much. I honestly think Iggy's just a fuck. He doesn't bring anything to the table. And also remember, he was the one that tattletailed on Eric. That honestly, in fairness, given what we said, that was probably an appropriate tattletale because Eric is a head case. But it's not Iggy's place to do it, and now he's becoming that guy.
Yeah, sure.
It's kind of like when Taylor was always tattletailing to Nick about Corinne. Like, you don't like that person.
Yeah, that was a little crazy.
So yeah, that was Iggy. Iggy comes back. The thing about Iggy, which you kind of have to respect, is he doesn't just like hide behind it. He comes right back and he tells Josiah, like, hey, I just told Rachel that I don't think you're genuine. And Josiah just starts freaking out, dropping F-bombs left and right. And the thing with Josiah, man, is he's also not afraid to go at someone. And I like that about him. He's not shy. And I think there's going to be some serious buildup going forward. And I like when there are rivalries in the show. I feel like we've had some decent ones. We had Blake and Waboom. We have Lee and Kenny. And Iggy and Josiah / Eric. Like,
honestly, there's more drama this season than there was last season, which I find incredibly surprising.
You know what? Coming into this show, I was like, there's no way dudes are as dramatic as girls. But when you factor in the testosterone and the ego and the all that, I mean, like, apparently Iggy shoots steroids into his nuts. That's what Josiah said. Like, he admitted that on the show. So yeah, it's not surprising that there's a lot of tension building up. All right, and then the last thing we saw in the episode is the other rivalry, Lee against Kenny. And for those of you that don't know, and this came out a couple weeks ago, it's not a spoiler because it came out after the season was over, but Lee had tweets from like 2015, 2016 that were super racist. I think he compared Hillary Clinton to this as just generation's Hitler. He compared the NAACP to the KKK. So Lee is like a legitimate racist. And you can kind of see, knowing what you know now, you can kind of see the way he interacts with like the white characters and the black characters. And he's definitely does not take a liking to the black characters. And I think right now he's picking a fight with Kenny. He loves getting under people's skin. And apparently after the fight he had with Kenny, he goes up to Rachel and says, hey, Kenny was very aggressive. Like, aggressive is like a big word to use about someone. I don't think Rachel wants an aggressive guy, and he airs him out. Your thoughts on Lee?
You know what? Lee seems like a guy who likes to stir the pot. And I did not know really much about those tweets, which is, I find crazy, because Rachel is black. So
how could ABC? Okay, so let me ask you. Let me just interrupt you for a second. So ABC came out and said they didn't know about it. I just can't believe that. As someone that knows about the application process to the show, I know that they do full background checks, and there's no way they don't check social media to make sure this type of thing doesn't happen.
I find that crazy. I mean, nowadays you know everything about a person, so I'm honestly also surprised that those tweets went under the radar and no one noticed.
No, but that's the thing. You got to stay woke. I don't think it went under the radar. I think they wanted this to come out. They leaked it. And now people are, like, more intrigued about Lee. Like, Lee's a legitimate character because he has no business on the show. He's not going to win. He's probably, like, 5'8". He's kind of irrelevant. But these tweets kind of make you hate him, which is what ABC wants. They want to get people to watch and hate or love characters. And Lee's definitely a hate character. So I believe ABC leaked this on purpose.
That's interesting.
So the last thing we saw, by the way, was Kenny comes out after speaking with Rachel. Rachel says, like, hey, what the hell happened? And he said, listen, like, I'm ashamed of what I did, but, like, I owned up to it. And Lee's kind of, like, making it seem like I haven't. And we shook hands on it, whatever. And he comes back and he taps Lee on the shoulder. And he's like, hey, can I speak to you outside? And they go outside. Like, that's just, like, old middle school, like, see you in the parking lot type shit. And that's how the episode ends. And everyone's like, oh, there's going to be a fight. Boom, that's how the episode ends. Do you think there's going to be some blood drawn?
No, I think it's going to be a really rational conversation, and they ended it like that to just be like, leave us on a cliffhanger. But I really think it's going to be a polite conversation, just being like, I mean, there's going to be some, you know, tension. Lee is going to try to start it up, but I feel like Kenny's going to keep his composure and really just be like, hey, what's going on, man? Why are you...
come on. Oh,
I know, but I do think that's what's going to happen.
I know, they're probably, because they probably don't want to promote violence. All right, two quick things real quick before we wrap up. One, we're both in agreement on Kenny that there's no way Rachel wants to inherit a 10-year-old for her first marriage in her early 30s, right?
Right, he's out.
It's a huge deal, and I feel like he's actually a decent dude, but that's a big black mark. I just don't see it happening. And then, no pun intended on that one. I forget what the other thing I wanted to say was, but I feel like that's it. That's it for episode number one, Bachelorette, Unfiltered and Unapologetic with Bradley and Dina. This is a whirlwind. We had to be done by the top of the hour, 1 a.m. I promised Dina we'd be done. So with 1 minute to spare, this is Bradley and Dina signing off. Until next show. Thanks for listening.